How you manage external stress is really critical in relationships. This includes stress from work or neighbors or extended family. Successful couples do something quite different. They buffer their relationship from these outside stresses by becoming one another's ally. Now today, in today's episode, we're going to be exploring the incredible power of something called stress-reducing conversations. And this is a secret ingredient that has the potential to really elevate your connection, your intimacy, and to build or rebuild trust between you and your partner. That's what's up next here on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Sharla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Master Your Marriage.
Yeah, it's been a good summer so far. I hope it's been good for everyone who's been listening and been on vacation, and we're all back to the grind now. Today, we're diving deep into one of John and Julie Gottman's interventions in the Gottman Method. It's also a practice that Charlotte and I do very regularly in our own marriage because of the benefits that we've seen. We've also seen the impact in lots of other couples as well as they do this practice. And this practice is called stress-reducing conversations. I'd like to share pretty much on a personal level why this practice has been kind of really important just to me. So one of the things I've talked about in the past is that as guys, we put on our armor when we go out to work. And this is because there's all of these jabs and insults, and we put it on, and it helps us manage the feedback that we get also in our job environment and work environment where people are saying, you didn't do this good enough. We let it roll off because we were carrying this armor. The problem is, and I've noticed this when I speak to other guys as well, is that when we bring this armor home, now we're again protected and we're not letting anything get through. And so it's a barrier to connection.
Exactly.
It's a barrier to intimacy. It's a barrier to conversation. Because we're just like, yeah, whatever you say, I'm just letting it roll off. And we need to figure out a way to put this down. The armor itself can be pretty heavy. And this is just metaphorically speaking, the armor is heavy because we're not able to relax and just sort of let down.
Yeah.
And I struggled with this earlier on. And I think when we had kids and I was working a lot, I had to figure out a way to take the armor off and to leave work at work and not bring that in the house. And one of the practices that Charlotte and I began at this time to kind of help through this was this theory and this idea of stress-reducing conversations.
Yes. So did you find that when we started doing stress-reducing conversations after work, that it helped you to de-stress and to kind of insulate our relationship from those stresses that you would feel out in the world?
Yeah. And it's twofold. And I love the way that you said that as we started having these stress-reducing conversations, because if you come home to a stressful environment, then you'll want to leave your armor on and you're not able to find peace. So knowing that I can come home, knowing that we're going to be able to have this stress reducing conversation allows me to take my armor off because I don't need to be protected.
Yeah.
And then I can connect. So it's twofold. First, it's the stress of the day and work. And the second part is knowing that I'm going to be able to have a conversation with you that will be able to reduce my stress, reduce my need for that armor, that really has been just super beneficial in our relationship.
I love it. So if you guys think about it, I mean, stress is it's just part of life, and life is full of it, isn't it? And on any given day, like Robert's talking about, we might be juggling work deadlines, maybe family demands,
kids at home.
Maybe you had a flat tire, you know, as you're going to work, and so you have all this buildup throughout the day. Maybe you had a coworker or an employee that really dropped the ball, and it added additional stress to your day. And life just has a way of kind of piling on, doesn't it? And sometimes it can feel like more than we can handle, which is what Robert's describing when he would come home at that, you know, at the end of the day. And here's the thing, life's stress doesn't just stay out there. It doesn't just stay outside the borders of your home. It spills over into your marriage. You know, for example, we've talked a lot on the show about the nervous system and how we're only really capable of connection when we are in our window of tolerance. That's when we can connect and be present with people. But often, because of being out in the world and going to work, our window of tolerance begins to narrow before we even walk through the door at night. And so that time that should be so crucial, where we're able to reconnect with one another, with the people that we love most, can be somewhat tainted, if you will, by the stresses of the day. And so, you know, your family feels it. Perhaps your energy is off, you're snappy, you're on edge, your window is closed. And so you just quickly jump into hypoarousal or hyperarousal. And this is how the stress from the world has a tendency of spilling over into our relationships.
Yeah, and it can pile up. And I love the way that you mentioned that. And it's not just work. It could be kids, and you could have a sick child at home. Plus, yeah, you're trying to do a bunch of other things. And so maybe it's not just coming home from work. Maybe it's your spouse who's been at home managing the CEO of the household,
yes,
tasks.
For sure.
And nothing went right.
I've been thrown up on today. I might have throw up in my hair, and there's no food in the fridge.
I didn't get a shower.
Yeah, like all those that's things. Very real.
Yeah. And that's the heart of it. These stress-reducing conversations can really make you come together as a couple. They can make you one another's ally.
Yes.
And that's really what
that's
we
the goal.
Want.
Yeah.
That's the real takeaway. Every time you're able to connect and be present to help each other face these stresses and understand them, and we're going to talk about the ways to do that, you become one another's ally,
yes,
which is what we always wanted to do. We wanted to go through this world together. We wanted to move this life together. And when you do that, you're banking goodwill. You're deepening your friendship. You're depositing funds into your relationship's emotional bank account. And that's important, because when the inevitable storms hit and things get a little rocky, you've stored enough in your emotional bank account to be able to survive that.
Yes, yes.
And I always say, there's nothing that Charlotte and I can't handle together, as long as we do it as a team, as long as we're pulling together.
Yes.
It's about being allies, and these stress-reducing conversations are a huge part of how to make that happen.
Amen. So before we get to the step-by-step process of how to do a stress-reducing conversation, let's do a little science, shall we?
Kind of ground this in. We're always going to talk about research if we can.
Yeah, because this isn't just something we do because we think it feels good to do it. It actually is grounded in science. So let's go back to Dr. John Gottman, whose research we reference all the time here on the show. And he has studied, as you know, thousands of couples over 40 years in his love lab. And he found that couples that are successful, couples that are happy, they have a certain ratio of positivity to negativity in their relationship. So when they have conflict, they are still able to maintain a ratio of 5-1 positive to negative ratio, even in conflict. And then outside of conflict, that ratio is usually somewhere around 20-1. So there's a lot of positivity, a lot of positive interactions for every negative interaction.
That's a lot of positivity.
It is. And stress reducing conversations is that deposit that we're talking about. It is a form of positivity. So it's putting those direct deposits into your relationship's bank account so that, as Robert said, you can weather those storms when life starts to get lifey. And
I like that, lifey. That's
life,
right.
Gets, yeah, lifey. Yeah. So a couple of other things, just also as far as the body, what we also know is that stress-reducing conversations has been shown to lower cortisol levels. Cortisol, of course, is your stress hormone. So that conversation itself is helping your body to physically, biologically de-stress. And another beautiful part is, as we share the formula with you in a few minutes, we encourage there to be a little bit of physical affection incorporated into the conversation. And physical affection, if you add that into this conversation, helps to release oxytocin. You get that oxytocin hit, and oxytocin is the love hormone. It's referred to as the love hormone because it helps to bond a couple. It's a bonding hormone. It helps you to feel more attracted to each other, to feel closer to each other. It helps to build trust with one another. So there's just so many scientific benefits of doing stress-reducing conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the critical piece that we find in the literature. Dr. Gottman's work, along with Dr. Neil Jacobson, shows that the external stress, like work pressure, extended family drama, that is one of the top reasons that couples relapse after they're working on therapy. So this means that even after couples go to therapy and get their relationship all dialed in, 50% of these couples fall back into old patterns within a year. And the question is why? Because life's demands creep in. Yeah. When we look at the statistics, I think the most important thing to consider is, what are the successful couples doing differently? So what are the other 50% doing? The difference is that successful couples protect and insulate their marriage from outside stressors by using stress-reducing conversations. So based on Dr. Jacobson and Dr. Gottman's work, this acts like a firewall. These stress-reducing conversations act like a firewall to protect your relationship. And the research from the Gottman Institute also supports this. They found that couples who practice stress-reducing conversations for 6 weeks see sustained improvements several months post-therapy.
Which is better than the typical, which is if you don't do the stress-reducing conversations, you tend to relapse.
Yeah.
So what exactly, let's get to it, is a stress-reducing conversation? What does it look like? How do we do it? So it is a 20 to 30 minute daily check-in.
Oh my gosh, 20 minutes?
Where you take turns simply sharing about your day. I had a couple that I was working with last year, super cute couple, and they called it their vibe. They didn't want to call it stress-reducing conversations, so they called it their vibe check.
Your vibe check.
Their vibe check. So
I think we should just call it the vibe check.
It's a 20 to 30 minute conversation where you're just checking in and talking about and sharing about your day. That means sometimes it might be talking about your stresses. It might be talking, it might sound a little like venting even. And other times it might be celebrating. It might be, oh my gosh, honey, I nailed that presentation at work. Or, oh my gosh, the kids didn't throw up on me today. They were actually total angels today.
Yeah. Mark that down the calendar. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I know I'm hearing you guys out there and I'm hearing some of you and seeing some of you roll your eyes a little bit at me right now. And I know this because I assign this as homework to most of my coaching clients. And I do hear objections. And sometimes that first response is something like, oh my gosh, another conversation. Or this sounds
more
so
homework, yeah.
Fake or not. It sounds so forced. Or, you know, who has time? Who in the world has time for this? And trust me, I've heard all of that in our coaching. And so I want to kind of talk about some of these and tackle some of these objections right out of the gate, and then we'll give you the formula. So what do you think about that?
I like it. All right. So the first objection that we often hear is, isn't this a forced or fake conversation? I don't want to do forced. If it doesn't feel authentic, like, why should I even do it? And we've heard this quite a bit. My answer to that is, what does being intentional in your relationship look like to you? Does being intentional in your communication and making sure you're connected, does that feel fake? If it does, we might want to look at the reasons behind that. But look, like anything new, trying to learn how to golf or even learn how to drive a car, we're going to share that. We all suck at new things. Yep. Anytime you do something new, it's going to be a little bit difficult. It's just like, do you remember learning how to drive? And we, you know, we've gone through this over the past year with a new driver in our house. And, you know, it's all about hard brakes, rapid acceleration.
We have an app that tells us, that gives us a report on each of his drives. And it's like harsh acceleration. And what are some of the
rapid braking.
Hard turns. And we get an alert every time one of these things happens. So, you know, the first year, it's like constantly going off on our phone.
It's better now.
It is getting better.
But think about driving. So just for that example. Driving becomes second nature. Now you can just talk and you're like, I don't even know how I got to work. I think there was a stoplight. I hope I didn't run through it, you know, because these things become automatic. And the same thing will happen when it comes to stress reducing conversations. They will just become automatic. Yeah, there's a structure and there's a recipe for connection. And we're going to get to all those things, but eventually it will become very authentic, very free flowing, and something that if you do it right, and as we hope that you do, you will look forward to having this conversation.
Absolutely. So let's tackle the objection of, oh my gosh, who has time for this? So here's the thing. We're talking about 20 to 30 minutes a day. That's not a lot. You know, that's less than a Netflix episode. It's certainly way less than the amount of time most of us are spending scrolling on social media. And so if you're thinking, hey, we're just too busy for this, then I want you to really get serious and think about the cost of not doing it.
Well, I just want to insert, because you were just going all over the time things, like how little time it takes. It's also less time than your most recent fight that you had.
Well, yes. And that's the cost. So what is the cost of not doing it? It's going to be more fights.
Yeah.
And what kind of time does that take? It's also going to come at the cost. It's going to come at the cost of having less intimacy, sexual intimacy, or also emotional intimacy. It's going to come at the cost of drifting apart. And so back to car analogies, I guess, today. But, you know, we find the time to do the maintenance on our car because we know that if we skip an oil change, then we are headed for a car that is going to break down. And the same is true with being intentional in our relationship. It also requires maintenance, and 20 to 30 minutes a day isn't a lot of time to be able to make sure your relationship is being taken care of. And like Robert said, it's something that you will end up looking forward to. It'll become the best part of your day.
So you guys ready for the formula?
Let's do it.
All right. So let's walk you through the formula. First, you want to pick a time and day that maybe you guys can commit to, whether that's morning or afternoon or evening, whatever that is. And we'd suggest this daily, especially during the work week. And ideally, you might want to do this in the evening as you're winding down. It's kind of the best time to unload and offload those stressors for the day.
I agree.
And this is not your time to talk about your relationship, by the way. We're going to be sharing external stuff. This means you're talking about everything but your relationship.
Yes.
So this is not time to start talking about complaints like you didn't do this the other day. So you're sharing things outside of the marriage. This is how my day went. I had this meeting. I did something good. I had something struggle, whatever it is.
So 10 to 15 minutes per person. Set a timer if you need to, maybe in just the beginning to kind of set yourself up for success.
Yeah.
And one person's the speaker for 10 or 15 minutes while the other person is the listener, and then switch roles. So let's talk about the listener's responsibility during this time. So the listener's job is simply to practice empathy and to show interest. That's it. The empathy piece is so important. And a lot of us need a lot of practice and work with practicing empathy. So this is great practice. And empathy is simply just tuning into what is alive in the other person. So it's tuning into their feelings, their needs, their wants. And the job of the listener, it isn't to fix anything. It is just to give your presence. That's
especially
it.
As guys, we want to fix things.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I do too.
I've had to ask that question. Yeah.
But it's not that. It's to give your presence. And truthfully, presence is probably one of the hardest things to give. And that's why I say the listening job is so much harder, because presence requires us to be present. It means we can't be in the past. We can't be in the future. We have to be right here in the here and now and attuned to what is alive in this other person. So as a listener, you want to keep it simple because you want to really just be focusing on your presence, but you do want to just stay engaged. And so a couple of tips for this, Robert and I always joke and say, check your face. So think about your face. Are you making eye contact? Maybe you're nodding appropriately to show that you are listening, that you're engaged, that you're interested. The listener can ask questions like, oh my gosh, how did that feel? Or you can validate the emotions. So if your spouse is talking about some frustrations and you're noticing the emotions that they're describing, you could say something like, wow, that really sucks. That sounds so frustrating. Or I can see why this would have stressed you out. You know, just a little validating there. That itself isn't necessarily empathy. It's just simply, because again, empathy is just your presence, but it's letting them know that you're in it with them, that you're their ally. Also, again, we don't just share complaints or vent. We also share good things. So if your partner is sharing good news, then celebrate with them and say something like, that is amazing. I am so proud of you. Just make sure as the listener that you're not giving advice unless you're being asked. Just be an ally. And then after 10 or 15 minutes, where you're the listener, then you'll switch and you'll become the speaker and your spouse will become the listener. And then at the very end, the last step that I love to add at the end is to add some kind of physical affection at the end of the conversation. Just a quick little tap of the hand or a hug, a kiss, an I love you, or even just simply saying, you know, thanks for listening or thanks for sharing. And that's it. That's the formula.
I know this seems long. You know, you're asking yourself, wait, I have to do 10 to 15 minutes. My partner does 10 to 15 minutes. But, and we're going to give you some ideas a little bit later about how you can just incorporate this with other things that you're actually already doing.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that you're blocking out this 30 minute time frame. I will find that in the asking clarifying questions, my first clarifying question, especially as a guy, is I'll say, wait, do you need me to fix something or do you just need me to listen? And Charlotte's like, I just need you to listen. I mean, I know I should just be listening, but my brain is busy working on the things I should fix. So I just ask that. That helps me become more attentive and just more attuned to the conversation, because now there's no task for me to do other than just to provide support.
Yes.
Again, this is your best friend that is sharing their day with you, and you should do what best friends do. You want to love and compliment and create a wonderful little bonding environment. This is a great opportunity for you.
Okay. Let's talk about some don'ts.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So don't jump into seeking solutions.
That's my problem.
Don't be fixing. You know, saying something like, you should have done this, or you should try this. It feels dismissive, doesn't it? All you need to do is just be an ally. Number two, don't bring up relationship issues. We said this at the beginning. This is meant to be external. This is things outside of the relationship, which really takes the pressure off. So we don't want to put the pressure on by bringing up relationship issues during this time. Also, don't get distracted. That means put the phones down, turn the TV off, whatever is the distraction, put it away and focus. Number four, again, don't minimize. So if they are maybe venting a little bit about their day and it seems like it's not that big of a deal to you, don't say that's not a big deal. That's minimizing. Number five, don't side with the enemy. If there is something that's happening where your spouse is having a conflict with someone else, it could be their boss, it could be a coworker, it could be your mother-in-law, and they're complaining about this person, we can be very tempted to see the other person's side in it and take their side in it. Like, well, you really should have thought about that. Maybe they do have a valid point here. Maybe you are being selfish. And that would be the wrong time to do this.
That's definitely the wrong
time. So don't take the side of the, in the moment, the enemy. Side with your spouse.
Yeah, this is you and your partner against the world.
Yes, yeah. Love it.
Always. To make this stick, turn it into a daily ritual. And so one of the things that we do, which I really enjoy, and it's probably superfluous, but I'll come home and then I'll pick Charlotte up and we'll just drive over to the local gas station and, you know, fill our Stanleys with ice and get a drink of some sort, whether we necessarily need it or not. And then just talk about our day. And I will say that I know that we've described this back and forth 10 minutes in sharing. I think at times, if your partner's really having a rugged day, I'm happy to seed over some of my 5 and 10 minutes just to let them just feel like they're being heard. Yeah. And I feel like maybe Charlotte does that more than I do, you know, especially if I have a lot of projects going on at work and we're busy expanding, and she'll say, you know, how did that go? I think this is also a way to just get to know what's going on in your partner's life.
Update your love maps.
You're updating your love maps. You're really just building your connection. So early on, you know, we want you just to kind of work on the format of sharing and making sure that you're both getting adequate time. But as you develop this, as you flex this muscle, as you exercise it, you're going to get a lot better at just the ebb and flow of back and forth and the listening and the communicating. And we really want you to feel that deep connection that comes with it. So our idea is that we go for a drive in the car. That's just something we do, but there's lots of other ideas.
Yeah, it doesn't have to look. I've shared this with clients, and I've had some laugh at me like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You drive to a gas station. And I thought about it. I'm like, well, I guess that is kind of dumb. But the point isn't that we go to a gas station. It's like we went yesterday and I think my Stanley is still three quarters full because it wasn't about the drink. It was about the intentional time that we were making to be together in the car. And I love to go for a drive.
That ought to be what we tell people. It's not about the drink.
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 Yeah.
So what could you do? Well, let's look at some things you like to do. Maybe you love to go for a walk in the evening. I have couples that love to do that. They love to go for a stroll around the neighborhood. That's a great time to have a conversation. You could be sharing as you go. And the movement itself, of course, is going to help you to de-stress from the day. And it's going to help your nervous system. And it's going to help you to open up with one another. Perfect time to do a stress-reducing conversation. Also, you might enjoy having after dinner drinks or coffee or sit out on the back porch or out on the deck and have a conversation. Maybe that's your way of de-stressing. So you find a way to make it cozy and build a conversation around that. Let's say you just have little ones at home and the evenings are just too much chaos. There's just no way you can do an evening conversation. Great. Make it work for you. Do a morning ritual where you have a conversation and talk about your upcoming day and maybe what's been going on that week. It could be breakfast together. It could be coffee together. Make it work for you. I also had a couple that was going through a stint where they were in two different properties and they weren't together every single day. And they were like, I don't know how to do this every day if we're not in the same house. If you're long distance, do video calls. Video calls could absolutely work. Just set it for the same time every single day to be consistent or as consistent as possible. Of course, nobody's perfect. Robert and I have had times where we're out of town and we slip up and we fall out of practice. You just get back on the horse and you just start doing it again.
Yeah. So start small if that feels more doable. Commit to maybe 3 days a week and just track how it makes you feel. But if it's awkward, I really want you to push through it because it gets easier and a little bit more free flowing the more you do it. And soon it will be your favorite part of the day. Sort of like that mini date that you get to go on with your partner. And it really builds the emotional bank account.
I love it. It really is actually probably my favorite time of day. Okay, I think we're kind of wrapping up this episode. I would love to see you guys share your stress-reducing conversations or your rituals in your social media, in your stories. And if you guys feel inclined to do that, tag us at Master Your Marriage on Instagram. Post about your walks, your strolls around the neighborhood, and share it with us. We really love it when you guys do that and when you share your relationship wins.
Yeah, I want to just say that this part is cool about the stress-reducing conversations because it can happen anytime, anywhere. And of that list that Charlotte gave you, I was just starting to think about, like, I've gone out and helped her in the garden and we've had a stress-reducing conversation. We've like to go on Saturday mornings to go to Starbucks to get her tea. I don't even have a reason to go with her other than that. Yeah. We've gone on walks. We've had a phase in our relationship where it was really cool, little winter wonderland that we had outside. And those conversations took place in the hot tub at like 8 o'clock at night.
That's true.
Like all these different, there's just tons of different opportunities to do that. And it's really about connecting with your best friend. Mm-hmm. And when you're connecting with your best friend, your ride or die, that really just really pulls you together. I've always believed that when Charlotte and I are yoked together, when we're on the same path, we can handle anything. And I truly believe that it really is us against the world and we can just win. And you can do that with your partner as well. As you do these stress reducing conversations, you'll become more connected. Your intimacy will just increase dramatically. Those little physical touches that sort of connect it and release that oxytocin will just bond you and help you insulate your relationship against those difficult things, those hard conversations and disagreements that you have. Those will become smaller bumps in the road as you start to just build your emotional bank account.
I love it. Well said. Well, thanks so much for joining us here today on Master Your Marriage. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you found value in it, if you're going to integrate some little tip we shared with you today, would you do us a favor? It really helps our show to grow. If you will just rate and review the show. And if there's someone you know in your life that you think this show would help, would benefit, would you please consider sharing it with them?
Remember, be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. It's the small things done often that create the greatest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.